It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Summer or winter, he's the voice of sport in Aotearoa. This is Mornings with Ian Smith on SENZ.
I would argue you would not get a better replacement for Adam Fanua-Blake than this person.
Is this a G up?
Not a G up. It's been posted on the Warriors Facebook page.
You know what? Can I make
I'm getting a bit too excited here, boys. Please guess.
Is it Big Nelson?
Freddie, do you want to have a stab?
Yeah, Nelson's the only player.
I will say it involves a hyphen in the last name.
Oh, no way. I can't believe they've let him go.
James Fisher-Harris. James Fisher-Harris. 4 years for the Warriors in 2025. Boys, we have to talk about that. That is...
We have to talk about it, right? We have to talk about it again right here and now. And that was live yesterday on Running It Straight with Jello, with Anthony Gelling, who was there, along with Sam, of course, the co-hosting Running It Straight these days, which is fantastic here on SENZ. Freddie Lussick live in the studio. And that's just how quiet they were able to keep it at the Warriors. Blockbusting news. Anthony Gelling is with us now as we take stock of that decision coming up 24 hours later, and to look at what's happening in round 7 of the NRL, another busy weekend which kicks off tonight with the Roosters and the Storm. The Warriors are in action against the Dragons tomorrow night around about 8 o'clock. So we'll keep an eye on all that sort of thing. Jello, if I can possibly, I've never met you in person. Could I call you Jello in person? Is that okay?
If I can call you Smithy.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Okay, yeah, tit for tat, yeah. That's good. Okay, Jello. man, this news, sensational news for the club, isn't it? Probably go down as one of the most best-kept secrets, but one of the biggest signings, too, the Warriors have ever had.
Yeah, massive, and completely out of the blue. And those reactions that we had yesterday, like even Freddie's there, you know, every day, not a clue that it was coming. And then a lot of the media team and stuff like that, I think one or two of them got tipped off at the 11th hour it was happening, just so they could put together a bit of, bit of content for the release. But yeah, just completely out of the blue.
I wonder what the feeling is amongst the players. Have you been able to ascertain what that feeling is?
Sorry, man, I'm just taking off my little technical difficulty there. What was that? Sorry, mate.
I was just going to say, the feeling amongst the players, have you been able to gauge any of that? Has that been apparent?
I haven't been in yet. So we just heard the news last night, and then I haven't been into the stadium today. But I think just for everybody in general, it does, you hear news like that, it does something to the posture. You know, all of a sudden, the shoulders are back, the chest is, it just pumped out a little bit, you know. I drove home yesterday with my shirt off for no reason. It just felt right. You know, as a nation, it's great news for the country. I think I'm not really a stats man, but I'd love to see the numbers on how many auctions got cancelled yesterday. People thinking, oh, it's time to cross the ditch and go to Australia. Hold on a minute. Fisher-Harris has just signed for 4 years. Let's put that on hold and see how we go.
That's incredible to put it in terms like that. The property values around the Auckland area have surged because of the signing of James Fisher-Harris. That's outstanding. So they signed Ruben Wickie, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, Tohu Harris, re-signed Sean Johnson. Where do you rate this one?
This is the cherry on top, because we still have Sean, we still have Roger, and now we've just got an absolute powerhouse. We're building an empire. That's what it feels like at the moment. That's the feeling around the nation that I'm sensing.
So let's look at, in all honesty and all seriousness, talk about James Fisher-Harris and what he actually brings to the club in comparison to Adam Fanua-Blake's.
I think it's a bit of a contrast in size. Like, you know, he's a big boy, but if you look at the weight difference, Ed is probably up around the 115, 120 mark. Fisher-Harris, he's all muscle. He's not that heavy, though. So if you look at the size of our pack, we are missing that kind of big bopper that can bend the line.
But as far as energy and effort and, you know, just absolute mongrel, you see what he's done for Penrith, along with Moses Leota. Just, you know, you pair that with Mitch Barnett, you pair that with what we already have with Tohu and, you know, Bunty and guys like that. It's a pretty dominant pack.
Apparently, they didn't see it coming over there either. But Penrith are being credited with all sorts of accolades from certain people on letting him go. Cameron Smith was actually speechless on his particular show. He was lost for words about this news coming through. So whilst it's pleased us, it's shocked them over there.
Yeah, big time. And when we were talking about, you know, as soon as Adam put his hand up and said he wanted to go back to Aussie, that kicked off the discussions about who could possibly come in. And there was the guy from the Sharks that was a possible option. You know, it's kind of like a trade deal. Talked about Big Nelson from Melbourne coming over. There's a few names thrown in. Fisher Harris's name was in there for about 20 seconds, and then you thought, nah, Penrith will never let him go. And he was locked in on that, you know, on a long contract. He still had another 2 years left at Penrith. So, you know, how those discussions or how those negotiations have come about, I'm really not sure. Like, I'm sure the details of it will come forth eventually. But, it's quite funny to see the reactions of, you know, like Cam Smith, Den and Kemp, guys like that. You know, because no one saw this coming.
So, at that level, who's involved in these negotiations from a Warriors point of view? Is this solely Cappy in terms of recruitment, or who's involved here? Because we're talking probably a decent sort of number here, and we're also looking perhaps at, you know, Andrew Webster's input, being ex-Penrith, etc. Who's been behind this coup?
I'd have to say it would be a group effort. You know, Cameron George, Andrew Webster, Cappy certainly. They'll be looking at the squad. They'll be thinking what we need, who we can bring in. And then there's also stuff from Fisher Harris's side, you know, the reasons why he wants to move. Like, well, I promise you it wouldn't be an easy decision for him to leave Penrith. Like, I'm sure he's, you know, you can tell that bond and that culture and what they've created there is something so special. Wouldn't be an easy decision for him to leave. But New Zealand is his home, and I think that plays a big part of it. Similar to Adam Fanua Blake wanting to go back to Aussie. We can understand, you know, we can empathise with that. He is a Kiwi boy, you know, 100%. He's a leader for the Kiwis. You know, he rips into the haka. That piece of New Zealand is still a big part of his life. So I think that coming home and representing his home week in, week out, I think that's a huge factor as well.
Round 7 of the NRL begins tonight. Jello, and I've got to say, their scheduling of Thursday night games has been fantastic so far, because each and every one of them has been a terrific matchup. And we've got another one tonight, and that's the Roosters against the Storm to kick things off. It starts at 10 to 10 our time. Who do you fancy here and why?
I'm fancying the Storm 1-12. And like you said, Thursday night is, you know, for me, it's becoming the best night of the week almost. There has been some great matchups. Speaking of matchups, you got Nelson and Jared Waerea-Hargraves going head-to-head. That's going to be an epic encounter. You know, Nelson, he's been away from the Storm. It's his first game back this year. He's had to do some work to get back into the team. He hasn't just been able to walk back. So, you know, he's got something to prove. Hargraves, it's his last year at the Roosters. This is a matchup that we might see for the last time. It's going to be an epic one. And I think, you know, it is going to be a close game. I've got the Storm 1-12. And the only reason I'm picking the Storm is that in recent games, both these two sides have played against the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs have showed up in both games. You know, it was a real tough, scrappy game. They got the better of the Roosters. And they showed up the same way against the Storm. The Storm were able to kind of ride through that toughness and kind of come out the other end. So just purely on that comparison of how these two teams went against the Bulldogs, I'm going to take the Storm 1-12.
Cool. I'm actually with you. I think the Storm will knock over the Roosters. However, I am not a great tipster, but I'm so looking forward to it. It just kicks my weekend. It starts my weekend of sport, actually, for Thursday night footy. Dragons, Warriors. Okay. It's the kind of game that scares me a wee bit, to be perfectly honest. It's one on form you'd think the Warriors could bank, but I'm a bit worried.
Yeah, it's one of those games that you could let slip. I think the Seagulls are in a similar position when they go to the Titans. You know, it's one of those games. It's not a big, a lot of hype around it. You're playing, it's a bit like you go down to the tennis court and you play against someone who's not up to it. You know, and they're hitting the net, just going over the fence, and then you start doing the same. There is a tendency and a habit to, for some teams that are playing well to drop their game when they come against these lesser opponents. But I think if the Warriors can start well, which they have been doing, usually they score, you know, the first try or the second try before their opponents can strike. If they can start well, the Dragons tend to just open the floodgates when they fall behind. You know, every game they've lost by conceding 30 points and over. So, when Dragons fall behind, they're not one to pull it back or get in that arm wrestle.
Eels fans will be watching, but I'm not quite sure what the ratings would be like tomorrow night at 10 o'clock for the Eels against the Dolphins. What chance you give the Dolphins?
Oh, this might be this game will be a tough one to watch. Dolphins, they've got no Hammer, you've got no Kafusi, so you've got your best defensive player missing, you've got your best attacking weapon missing as well. They were very scrappy last week against the Broncos. They hung tough. A lot of tries they conceded were on the back of errors and, you know, Broncos just launching those big counter-attacks and scoring from 80 metres away like they do. You know, this is a golden opportunity for the Eels to get a dub over the Dolphins, because if they were to play them any other time, you know, with even just a couple of those guys that are missing back, I think the Dolphins get the better of them. So, yeah, I think it's an opportunity that Eels got to take. I'm picking them 1-12. They should put the icing on the cake there.
If there's a 13-plus game looming, is it the Panthers against the Tigers? I mean, this is the Battle of the West, Western Sydney. But to ask Benji and his young Tigers to go out there under the Blue Mountains and pull this one off might be a stretch?
I think it'll be a stretch, mate. And I think, there is a little stat floating around. When the Tigers fall behind 38 games consecutively, when they've been behind, they have not been able to come back. And I think if the Panthers, you know, they start fast and they don't lose two in a row. Okay, so they lost last week. They'll be fired up for this one. They've got a full team aside from Cleary. I think Fisher Harris, you know, being in the headlines and stuff this week, he's just going to want to put a real statement out there that, you know, he's focused on what Penrith are doing this year. Expect a big game from him. And I think it's just, you feel sorry for the Tigers a little bit because they are trying. The guys that are trying, it's just taking it out of them. I think Papa Lee's playing 80 minutes. He's playing 50 tackles a game. Coruscant's the same. He came off 2 weeks ago with a quad injury, stayed off for the remainder of the game. The next week, he's back playing again. They had a hooker on the bench last week. Left Coruscant on for the full 80 just to try and get that game back, which never happened. And, you know, now he's a bit of a short turnaround. Now he's back in it again. You know, they need a bye. They need a break. They need a rest. They had the bye in round one. They're not getting another one until round 13. So, unfortunately for the Tigers, they're just in a bit of a grind at the moment. You're just going to have to ride this out. They've got the Panthers this week, Broncos next week. It doesn't get any easier. But, they're a team that needs a little sabbatical, I think.
Well, the Titans won't get it any easy. They won't have an easy week either. And they've had anything but an easy season so far. And they are hosting the Sea Eagles. Both teams, incidentally, going to Golden Point last weekend. The word is that the Titans are in with a shot here. Is this a Des Hasler factor? Do you believe that to be the case?
I think so. This is, if I was to pick an upset of the round, it would be this game. I think, the fact that Sipley's not playing, Alawai's not playing. Sipley's been on career best form. He's been huge for them. Also, Ben Trbojevic, he's not playing. Saab and Lodge, both coming back. Both might be a little bit rusty, I think the Titans, they need something. You know, there have been weeks and weeks and weeks now of, you know, they looked better last week. There was some fight against the Raiders. I think they could take some confidence out of that, out of the evidence that they built, that they can defend their line for long periods of time without conceding. But, I think if there was to be an upset, it'll be this one. Titans bent the Sea Eagles.
Ooh, it's a Saturday at 7:30. Following that, it's an interesting clash when you look at the table. I mean, if I said to you, who's third in the competition at the moment, the Raiders or the Broncos, you'd say the Broncos, but that is not the case. They sit 10th. The Raiders actually sitting third at the moment. Where do you see this one going?
They're going all right, the Raiders. They're just floating under the radar. And it's games like this where they have been showing up and they have been playing well and picking up points. I'm going to pick the Raiders 1-12 in this one. Now, both teams were in a similar position last year, although the Broncos were a little higher on the table. I think they played April last year. Very similar circumstances. And the Raiders beat the Broncos at home at Suncorp. The way those young guns are going, Ethan Strange, he's absolutely flying at the moment. I think he could do a number on these guys. I think the matchup, though, a real matchup for that one. Maybe not as good as the Nelson Hargraves matchup, but you've got a battle of the centres. So you've got Tomoko and Staggs. That's going to be an epic one, also.
We've got the Bulldogs up against the Knights. That's the first of the two games on Sunday. About Kalyn Ponga, is he the best fullback in the game at the moment, in your opinion, or who's better?
In my opinion, yes. I think he's got a team that's playing very average at the moment, and you know the picking up wins that they have had is just purely on the stuff that he's doing. He picked up that hip injury last week on that that little hip point. I'll see how he is this week. I'm going to take the Bulldogs for this one, though. I think it's going to be a bit of a grind for the first 60, but I'm taking the Bulldogs 13+. I think they blow it out at the end.
What chance are Sharks of going quite a long way in this year's competition? Or is this a bit of a fairy tale start for them at this point?
It's hard to tell. I don't feel like they've really been tested yet. You know, they came up against, you know, the wins that they have had, they came up against a Warriors team that looked very rusty in round one. We'll give them that. But the teams that have been going well so far, they've just been, like, the defence has been on point. And that's been the Sharks. You know, the attack's a bit hit and miss, but they've defended well. And they're, they're sitting top of the table at the moment. You know, 4 wins, 1 loss. They've had the bye. No real big injuries. No key people missing. There is a debutant on the wing this week, Samuel Stone Street. I'm not too sure where he's come from or what his background is, but you know, he's going to get a debut this week. I think he'll be outside Cal Edo, who's only playing his maybe third NRL game. So we'll see how these guys go. But it's you know, they're up against a Cowboys team that cannot defend. You know, it's what we've seen from them in the last few weeks. They can score points for sure. You know, they're 177-4. I think they're leading the comp with that. But, you know, 149, 150 points conceded. You know, they let in just as many points almost as they score. And I think the Sharks, they can lock the door when they need to. They can keep teams out. And I think the Sharks get this 1-12 in a very high-scoring game.
Cool. It's the preview of round 7. I was just thinking too, Jello, because you're heavily involved with the development process in the Warriors club, and I was just thinking what some of these youngsters would be, you know, you would be thinking about the arrival of James Fisher-Harris for the next 4 years as they continue to develop their pathway to perhaps playing top grade footy alongside him, alongside Tohu Harris. Long may he stay. Leadership will be at its premium, won't it?
Sure, 100%. Like, Adam's an awesome player. He's a really good leader in a sense, but not as much as I think Fisher-Harris could be, especially for these young Māori boys. There's a massive thing at the moment. There's a lot of players coming through the system, and at the moment their options are either, you know, you're locked into that top 30 with the Warriors, or you have to go overseas because, you know, there's a limited pathway, there's limited space, especially while New Zealand only has one NRL club. So Fisher-Harris is someone that's, you know, he's grown up in New Zealand, he's gone overseas, and he's developed himself and made a name for himself and all these wonderful things, and, you know, now he has the opportunity to come back. So it's a great example for these boys, you know. Just because you don't crack it at the Warriors, there is a pathway outside of that, and the destiny is in your hands to kind of make the most of whatever opportunities are out there, you know, in Australia or in New Zealand. But, you know, just because you leave New Zealand, that doesn't mean you're leaving home forever. You know, there is a way back, and you know, I think Fisher-Harris, it's an awesome story that he's home now.
Mate, it's the best news. It's the best news, sporting news of the week, I feel, around these parts, and that's without a ball or being kicked or passed or whatever or hit. Good on you, Jello. Great to catch up with you, mate. We'll get you on as often as we can, mate. The fantastic preview to round 7. Have a terrific weekend, eh?
Awesome, mate. You enjoy your weekend too. Catch you later.